Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. The baptism of Jesus is one of the few events of Jesus' life that is narrated in all four Gospels. And, perhaps not surprisingly, each Gospel tells the story in a slightly different way. Matthew says that at first, John doesn't want to baptize Jesus, because John recognizes Jesus, and John says that Jesus ought to be baptizing him. Luke says that when Jesus is baptized, the Holy Spirit comes down in bodily form, like a dove, emphasizing the physical manifestation of the miracle. John narrates the entire incident offstage. He doesn't even show Jesus getting baptized. He just says that John the Baptist told people that he saw the Holy Spirit come down and remain on Jesus. But in Mark's account, the account we read today, the distinctive feature of the story is that the manifestation of God in Jesus' baptism is a private experience which Jesus alone has. Mark says that when Jesus was baptized, just as he was coming up out of the water, he, Jesus, saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. There's no indication in the story that anybody else saw anything happening. And Mark says that when the heavenly voice speaks, it addresses Jesus directly in a message meant for Jesus alone. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. The address is in the second person singular, you. And Jesus, apparently, is the only one who hears it. As Mark tells the story, Matthew and Luke tell it differently, but as Mark tells the story, when Jesus is baptized, he has a powerful experience of the love of God and the energy of the Spirit, and that experience is very personal and very private and very much a part of Jesus' own inner life. But that personal and private experience of God in baptism leads almost at once to a very public expression of God's presence in action. Mark says that immediately after his baptism, and sometimes I think Mark's favorite word is immediately. He uses it so often in his gospel. But immediately after his baptism, the Spirit drives Jesus out into the wilderness to fast and pray. And as soon as the 40 days of fasting are completed, Jesus immediately appears in Galilee, preaching in a very public way, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. The personal and private experience of God in Jesus' baptism leads immediately to a public and outward expression of God in Jesus' mission. And that's the way it was through all of Jesus' ministry. The personal and the public were always in balance. In every way, in every episode of Jesus' life and mission that's narrated throughout Mark's gospel, we don't ever see the one without also seeing the other. And that is a very important observation for us, because that tells us how our life and our mission ought to be put together as well. We celebrate the baptism of Jesus because we believe that when we are baptized into Jesus. And that means that by baptism, our life and our ministry take shape and direction and energy from Jesus' life and Jesus' ministry, Jesus' eternal life and Jesus' everlasting ministry. So Jesus gives us a model for how the inward, private, personal experience of God and the outward, public, active expression of God come together to make one whole, mature, complete spiritual life. And it is important for us to be reminded of that, because it seems like all too often We can let the inward and personal dimension of our faith and the outward and public dimension of our faith get out of balance with each other. We can come to feel sometimes that our religion, our spirituality, is all about how we feel. It's all about how we experience our own relationship with God or Jesus or the Spirit or each other. We can get into what some people call a me and Jesus spirituality. And that can end up downplaying how our faith calls us to be active in the world, out there in the messy, risky, germy, sometimes unbelieving world. It can lead us to forget how our being Christians should make a difference for the community and for the society and for the planet. Or we can come to think that our religion is all about what we do, that Christianity basically boils down to doing good works and engaging in social action and politicking for justice and peace. We can end up striving to change the world for Christ, and in the process end up forgetting the Christian promise is also about changing ourselves, about being redeemed and transformed and liberated in ourselves, so that we become new people, filled to overflowing with the love and the joy of Christ. I knew of a church once that was very active in all kinds of social ministries. I mean, they really strove to make a difference for Jesus in the whole world. But in the process of doing all those activities, they made themselves so anxious and so tense and so tired that it seemed they were more afraid of disappointing Jesus than they were capable of celebrating the love and the joy of Jesus. On the other hand, I spent some time in a parish once that really enjoyed getting together. They loved the sense of home they created for each other. They gave thanks to God for the love that they felt among their membership, and that was genuine. But if you asked them who lived in the houses next door to the church, or what the issues were in the minds of their neighbors, or what difference the church's being there made to that neighborhood, if you asked those questions, you were liable to get some blank stares in reply. It can be all too easy to fall into thinking that being Christian is all about what we feel or all about what we do, but losing the deep connection between them. But the good news is that balancing the inward and the outward, balancing the public and the private, is what God really wants for us. And because God wants that for us, God will send us the Holy Spirit to make it possible for us, just as God sent the Holy Spirit to Jesus in his baptism, to make him God's beloved, to empower him to express God's love in a life of ministry. The good news is that the experience and the expression are both parts of the blessing God promises to us. And with prayer and patience and practice, we can learn, like Jesus, to keep those parts of our spiritual lives in a healthy balance, so that we too can know the love of God deep in our hearts and show the love of God in the ways we act in the world. Now, in a few moments, we will mark our celebration of Jesus' baptism by renewing our own baptismal covenants. We will make together a whole series of promises about how we will live as Christ's own, continuing in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, persevering in resisting evil, proclaiming good news in word and example, seeking and serving Christ in all persons, striving for justice and peace among all people. We will make a whole series of promises about what we will do in a public and outward way to express God's love as we believe it's revealed in Jesus. But for each of those promises, we will also answer, "I will, with God's help." And that reminds us of the inward, private, personal grace God offers to each one of us to experience God's love in our own particular needs, in our own particular ways, in our own particular joys. The baptismal covenant we share in today is an invitation and a promise to be public and private, to be inward and outward, to be loved and to be loving in the love of God. And that is what we celebrate when we celebrate the baptism of Jesus and our baptism into Jesus in our worship today. Amen.